What's the Tea? Brought to you by B-Trans Support and Community with Pride Radio.
Proudly supported by Pride Action North.
Welcome back to What's the Tea? We are B-Trans NB, and today we're talking about the unaskable questions.
Don't ask them.
Do not.
Ever.
Never do it.
Yeah, I thought it would be fun. I know that sometimes, you know, people, there's not a lot of educational resources out there, and if people don't really know where to look, they won't necessarily see what they're finding.
Definitely.
And I do find, as someone who's been out for quite a while, and especially as someone who's out to a lot of family and things like that, people who don't necessarily know these things, sometimes people can feel quite uncomfortable asking questions.
Definitely.
I know a lot of people are quite worried about offending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe the questions are a bit of an invasion of privacy, but you do still kind of want to know. So I thought I'd include like an episode where
we're gonna answer those questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Lovely.
I thought it would be fun.
Yeah. No, it's good. You're definitely totally right about the stigma almost.
Yes.
So I suppose there's a bit of relief.
Yes. Don't ask anybody these questions.
So on that, Daniel.
Question number one.
How old were you when you realized that you weren't your assigned gender at birth? Because you've mentioned that you've been out for a minute. You've spoken about that in previous episodes.
It's been a while.
How long exactly has that been?
It's been 8 years.
God damn.
That's fun.
I know. It's been a while. A whole lifetime for some people.
Yeah.
I cracked my egg, mm-hmm. as we said last time, when I was about 15.
Damn.
So I was quite young. It wasn't a very stereotypical story of like, oh, I knew from day one, that kind of thing. I didn't really know that something was up. But so I was quite young, but some people are not as young. Mm-hmm. Some people are younger as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it can happen kind of at any age for anybody. What about you guys?
I came out when I was 20, 21, I think. Yeah, because...
It's not good asking me.
20, because it was the first year of the COVID lockdown and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I only came out so late because I didn't really know what being trans was until I was maybe 16, 17. And by that time, I was kind of like, even if I do have these kind of feelings, I'm not going to address them ever.
Okay, a typical teenager.
Yeah. Because I was kind of scared that, like, ooh, maybe I am. So I kind of just avoided it until I was 20 and everyone was shut indoors the entire time. So not very long, maybe 4 years.
I think I also came out when I was 20.
Oh, okay.
The interesting part, however, I feel, is that from the entire duration of the time that I was in secondary school, my best friend was a trans guy.
Yeah.
Who was out from the age of 13. So while I've not necessarily been out for that long, I've known somebody who's been out for a hell of a long time. But despite my exposure to this person as their best friend throughout all of school, I
never really clocked.
Never came to that realization back then. Mm. And I think back to instances in which, like, oh, he made me put, like, on leggings and such from his wardrobe, and I'm, like, dancing about my living room having the best time I've ever had. And then take him off, never talking about it again, never bring it up, pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I think I had one of those moments when I was 16 or 17, I think. I got my girlfriend at the time to give me, like, makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember you showing me that picture.
Yeah, I wore it once and then I was like, I'm enjoying this too much. Get it off me right now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, never dressed again after that.
Mm-hmm. I remember thinking definitely when I was around the age of 16 or something, I was trying to figure out what was happening. I didn't end up getting there, but I very distinctly remember myself thinking, like, am I gay? Am I asexual? I'm feeling something here that
there's
isn't
something
normal.
Going on.
There's something going on here, but I don't know what it is. I can't quite tell. And it took me an extra 4 years.
Well, at least you got there in the end.
You know what? I'm happy. I'm happy that I did.
That's so wild to me because I met my first trans person and I was like, hold on.
Right.
Wait a damn minute.
Yeah, I have no idea how I literally did 5 years of school and just not once was like, oh, that might be me as well.
I don't think there was any trans people in my school until...
I was the trans person in my school.
Fair enough. The next one. What do you see... Oh, no. Yeah? Yeah. What do you see when you look in the mirror?
I found this one on Reddit. I was kind of searching around of like... Obviously, people don't like asking these kind of questions, mm-hmm. so sometimes people turn to online. And my sister sent me this Reddit post of a bunch of questions of someone who was like, I know trans people and I want to know the answers to these questions, but I feel like I can't ask them. And I was like, yeah. You are perfect.
So this one in particular is quite odd for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I can't see a reflection of myself, in my head, I have an image of what I look like, and it's not what I see in a mirror.
Mm.
So in my head, I see myself very feminine. And then when I look in the mirror, I'm like, that is not me. What is that looking back at me?
Yeah.
especially if I'm not shaved in a while as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, that's not right.
See,
what's that?
I'm the same as you, but completely in the opposite direction.
Right.
In terms of, I also have this image in my head of me being very feminine.
Right, okay.
So, like, I sit there and I'm like, yeah, I'm looking like a woman right now. And then I'll go in the mirror and, like, I think because such rapid changes on T as well, I'm not used to my face looking like this. And
you
I'm like...
staring at yourself with your jawline
and
moustache.
Yeah, it's a bit of a jump scare sometimes, to be honest, especially if I'm going to, like, the bathroom in the middle of the night and I'm like, who's in my bathroom right now? Like, why is there a man in my house? But it's me.
Yeah.
I'm the man in the house. It's weird.
You're the man in your house.
I am the man in my house.
So do you get this kind of thing, Rose?
It's definitely something that I've been paying attention to over the past year. Because personally, I've, hormone therapy, HRT. I've been taking estrogen for the better part of, I think, around 8 months at the moment.
Mm.
So I've had this calendar year to really start paying attention and notice what's happening. And I do remember at the start, it wasn't a fun experience to look in the mirror. Definitely similar to what you're saying, Josie.
Yeah.
In that, I think I look very different to what I actually do.
Uh-huh.
I'm lucky enough to be in the position now where that's happening less. I won't lie. Yeah, look in the mirror. I'm like, oh, I catch myself by surprise sometimes, and I do a double take and think, who's this hot chick?
this absolute
who've I got over? What's all this riz I've got here?
Not that.
So no, it's nice to feel that a little bit more often, but it's definitely it's not always been like that.
Yeah, no.
It's 100% something that changes over time as you become more comfortable with yourself as you progress on your journey. So
yeah,
that is good. At least
Daniel, do you think there's any underlying reason that you might be trans?
Me personally, no. So I asked my sister for a few questions as well, because I'm quite close with my sister and I knew that if I asked her questions, she would provide questions. Because me and my family haven't really talked a lot about being trans, even despite the fact that we're quite close. And I do worry sometimes that they're a bit uncomfortable asking questions as well, which is why I went to my sister for some questions. And this was one of hers, was like, do we think that there might be kind of underlying reasons? Like, I know some people think it's just very much just a psychological brain structure thing that something you're born with, but other people do feel differently, and I thought it would be nice to share with the class.
I'm not really sure, to be honest. When I first came out, I used to think, like, ooh, maybe I'm trans because my parents... paid more attention to my older sister than me. But now I'm like, I'm not really sure anymore, because that wasn't actually the case. So I don't really know if this question kind of,
I think,
like, has anything to do with me, to be honest.
Yeah, I think partially it would definitely be nice sometimes to almost have some reason that you could associate.
Like,
like,
I
if
think
there was one hypothetical massive life-changing event that occurred at some point that made you trans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to know if there was, but
I don't believe that's the case.
No.
Yeah.
As we've covered in, like, previous episodes, say for me, anecdotally, I've always kind of viewed myself as a girl.
Mm.
So, like, even rewinding to, like, when I was 8, 9, or 10, my hair's, like, beyond my shoulders.
Really?
Yeah. So, it's, like, that's something that I've been doing all of the time, and I don't think there would be any association or any specific thing.
Yeah.
I've definitely always just had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
That transness. Like,
kind of when I kind of was, like, a couple of years ago, maybe before I got on T, I was kind of under the view that for me personally, I had changed gender. I was like, I was a little girl, I felt like a little girl, and now I feel like a boy. Like, something happened and I changed. But now that I'm kind of a bit more comfortable in my identity, you know, I've been on T for a while because that's done a lot for me in terms of, like, confidence and emotional stuff. Now that I've kind of managed to address it, I don't think that that's the case.
Yeah.
In terms of, again, I do feel, I, like, looking back, I did always feel very uncomfortable and nothing was quite right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I've kind of always been uncomfortable with my own body. But
yeah.
I was never sure why.
100%.
Yeah, like, at the time, like, I remember when I kind of started getting a bit older, when I was about maybe 8, I was like, oh, I think I should stop swimming lessons because I feel a bit uncomfortable in my swimming costume. But I was like, at the time, I was just like, I think I'm just shy, because I was a very shy child.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just shy having a body in front of so many people. Having a body, how embarrassing.
Yes.
Like,
awful.
Like, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But looking back, like, no, it was because of the way that my body looked and the way that it was perceived by other people.
Yeah. Definitely. That's understandable, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the next one's not great.
Oh.
Well, you have all the surgery options.
Yeah. So this was mainly my, again, it was another one from my sister. She was kind of asking, like, would I have bottom surgery as well as top surgery? But I thought it would be kind of fun to bring on as well, because I think it's important to discuss, especially if we're talking about, like, in terms of education.
Yeah.
No.
For people who don't know that not everybody wants all of the options that are out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, me personally, I'm not choosing to have bottom surgery because I'm not too happy with the results.
Okay.
And I don't care enough to go through all of the healing.
Oh, God, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, I know for a trans woman, if she chooses to have bottom surgery, then it's at least 6 to 12 months of healing and...
Lucky.
Right, well, dilation, I won't get into, but...
Oh, no.
Yes, there's a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
So it's not something that is even necessarily appealing to everybody.
No.
It's a lot of work involved even after the fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as well as, I think it's important to note as well that obviously always people say, like, oh, you're having the surgery.
The surgery.
But it's,
the
surgery. It's
there's so
it's,
many different kinds.
Yeah, there's many steps to each kind of process as well, especially things maybe like bottom surgery.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of steps to that. You
well,
know,
there's also,
like,
different versions of it as well.
Yeah, there's that, but I kind of mean in terms of, like, if I did want to go down a bottom surgery route, there's at least 3 separate surgeries to make that happen for me.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So, like, no matter what route I go down, there's at least 3, I think. So,
yeah,
like,
for me, I would want bottom surgery, but there's also different surgeries that I might want in the future, like facial feminization surgery, or like tracheal shaving, where they shave down like the Adam's apple.
I know people who've had that.
I've seen a few people online saying that it's good because it's made them feel a lot better. Because you before, like, recent, like, trans people being like, oh, this is actually not true. But, like, before, people would be like, don't get tracheal shaving. It always ends really badly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just kind of misinformation being spread around.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's kind of different surgery options, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's no one.
It is surgery. Totally pick and choose.
Yeah.
It's like a pick and mix.
Absolutely.
I was going to say that, but I didn't know if it was going to be offensive.
I think personally, it's for me, it'll be a matter of if I'm successful enough to be able to afford, then I will.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There's always that.
Yeah.
Because yes, they're not free either, and it's not easy to obtain either. I think that's obvious. That's another thing. When people ask about surgeries and things, they have no idea that it's almost impossible to get happen.
Yeah,
not fun.
They do offer it on the NHS, but
through 15,000 hoops and 10 years of waitlist.
I was going to say, like, good luck getting it before you're 50.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
So the only option is to pay for it yourself.
Yeah.
Which is obviously ridiculous, because it's not even like we have medical insurance or anything in this country.
It's Bupa.
Well, it's typically not like it would be subsidized.
No,
you wouldn't pay $200, for example. So that's a huge thing. It's not actually readily available or even feasible for a lot of people because it's tens of thousands of pounds.
Well, yeah, like I know with like trans guy top surgery, not everyone's even eligible.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like for health reasons. Like not everybody can actually have it for their own health.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing. So even if, like, you were to ask somebody that, and, like, it might be a bit of an upsetting topic.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, not always.
They can never have it, but they want it.
Yeah. So the next question. Are you happy now that you came out?
I thought this was a good question to bring up, because I know me personally, I came out, and then everything all of a sudden got a lot worse.
Oh,
that's the same for me.
Yeah.
That was the same for me.
And I wanted to kind of touch on the fact that that can happen.
Yeah.
Like, everything became a lot worse because all of a sudden, everybody knew this very vulnerable information about me.
And
like,
you're suddenly very hypercritical of yourself as well.
Yeah. Like, I was outed at my school to teachers and students alike. So everybody else was also very hypercritical. I was like the talk of the town for so long because it was very small town, Northern England, you know, news spreads, right? Like everybody knows everybody's business. So everything all of a sudden got a lot worse. But I would say now that I've kind of gotten away from that environment, everything's a lot better again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would say now I am happier than I was before.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think that a lot of the time it's other people that make it
the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think other people are the reason why being trans even can sometimes just be like, oh.
Yes. Sure. Yes. It's a chore. It is a genuine chore. I was in a similar position somewhat, in that as soon as I came out, I was immediately very sad.
Yeah.
Very, very hypercritical, very aware of the world, very aware of the current state of politics.
Oh yeah, you came out for a bad time in politics.
The state of healthcare. very aware of all of these things. So I've had this realization, I'm gone, oh my God, I'm trans. Oh my God, trans people are treated awfully in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Great.
So it was a very up and down, very fast. But as I've spent time being trans and had time to explore myself and the world again, I'm infinitely, infinitely happier than I ever was before.
Yeah. So for me, I would say I am happier in myself now that I've come out, because I kind of have a label to like put on like why I'm feeling this way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, in terms of the world of when we kind of came out is not great. I kind of came out and then when I changed my name and stuff online, everyone was kind of like, why is your name this now?
That's what it was for me, because yeah. I texted my mum and then I didn't even text my dad. I just changed my name on Facebook and made it status just being like, too long, don't read, boy now. Like, that was very much the vibes. And my dad was just like, okay,
cool,
I guess. Like,
but no, yeah, I'm definitely happier now, especially now that I've moved down here where there's more like trans people around me, because when I came out and I kind of lived with my parents all alone in the middle of nowhere in the middle of Scotland, it was kind of like I didn't really have a kind of a support system where I could like feel kind of safe in who I am. So it was definitely not great for the first year or so, but yeah, I'm definitely happy, a lot happier now.
You see me.
So I suppose, and I feel as though this is rhetorical, but would you go back?
Again, I thought this was interesting to include due to my unique journey, because I have had thoughts of that in the past.
I think it's normal for that.
Yeah, I think everyone has, to be honest.
It's so important to know that, like, I think it's just a thing with any very large decision that you have
you
in
want
your
to be
life.
Certain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people think this about, like, moving to a new town.
Yeah.
Like, changing career path. Mm-hmm. Some people think about dyeing their hair.
Yeah.
Like, some people think, stew over that stuff for, like, so long. And I just wanted to kind of include it because I thought it would be important to include that, like, I have been asked this before of, like, are you sure? Like, are you certain? And I wanted to include it so that we can say, like, every trans person has thought about whether they're sure.
Yes,
yes, definitely.
It is honestly the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
It's usually at times, like, when I've been, like, extremely, like, down and depressed, it's been like, oh,
very doubting
maybe,
yourself.
Yeah, it's like, oh, maybe I'm not actually trans. Maybe I'm just depressed. Maybe I just hate my body.
Rationalizing in any possible way you can.
Yeah.
But
see, like, I've even had thoughts of, like, when I felt like nothing's going anywhere with like the wait list and stuff, I've been like, why do I even bother?
Yeah, maybe I should just give up.
Yeah. Like, just give up. Like, what's even the point anymore? I'll just do this instead.
Yeah.
But then it's like, calm down a bit.
Yeah.
have a minute to kind of chill.
Yeah.
Breathe.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a very common thing for trans people to kind of go through.
100%. I think, the question itself is incredibly rhetorical, because if you're talking to a trans person, they're probably very comfortable and very happy with being trans.
Yeah, it's like the happiest they've ever been.
Yeah. So to go back would be, for lack of a better term, suicide.
Yeah. definitely not great. No. I
mean,
think,
like, obviously there are people who do go back.
Yeah.
But I think there was like a study that showed that a lot of the time that's because of backlash that they've received from other people.
Yeah. It typically comes from a place of societal pressure or financial pressure.
Yeah.
Because hormones aren't free either. HRT is not free. So financial pressure and societal pressure are massive factors that can play a part in that. And of course, other things as well.
Imagine like, obviously, like, this hasn't happened to, like, any of us, but there's been, I can't help but think there's probably been someone who's been, like, hate crime before, and then there's been, like,
oh, totally.
That's very clearly not safe. So.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can absolutely see that. And that would be, honestly, a reasonable reaction to have. It is incredibly scary, so.
It can be, yeah. Especially if you've had a bad experience already.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, hell no. I'm not going to make. Hell no.
No.
No, absolutely not.
Definitely not. I think if I were to go back, I would be even more depressed than I was before I came out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely not worth it.
Because it's kind of like you can't miss what you've never had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I sit back and I think of, like, the kid that I used to be, where I'd sit there and I'd be like, I walk weird, everybody's looking at me. And then I'm like, no, everybody's in love with me, actually. That's just a me thing, though, actually.
But I think I can say definitely without a doubt that I'm happier than now.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I think now that I've had this like whole thing, like this whole journey, I can just be like, yeah, nah.
Yeah.
I'm here now, me as well.
So that episode was about unaskable questions for trans people. A lot of very personal things in there.
Yes.
That's what we're here for, baby.
Yeah. We've been B-Trans. If you want to follow us on our social medias, it's B-TransNB.
So join us next time for more episodes of What's the Tea.
Remember to follow B-TransNB on your socials and reach out to us if you have any queries about the services we offer.
What's the Tea? Proudly supported by Pride Action North. Pride Radio.